May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I feel truly blessed to be preaching to you this morning, and I hope in these ever-changing and disquieting COVID-19 times that you are all well. And I hope, my brothers and sisters, that your feet are feeling truly beautiful. Our feet are at the ends of our bodies, and unless they are aching, most of us don't give them much thought. But Isaiah is right with his focus, because it is our feet that bear us up and take us where we are sent with God's speed. And it is our feet that drag when we don't feel or don't want to be called or sent. Just look at the Bible stories of reluctant prophets and would-be disciples. So it's good news to hear of those beautiful feet and the feet of the disciples, despite their fear, being gathered together in that upper room, standing in the place together from where they could be called and sent. And today, we are here, alongside the beautiful feet of Ruth, Paul, Erin, Hannah, and Reginald, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who have come from very different paths to be proclaimers of the good news of Christ, to serve the one Lord who has called them and us, and who is calling you now to be his priests of the new covenant. Today we are gathered to see you ordained for the next stage in your ministry, along with those joining us by YouTube, gathered virtually, as the bishop said earlier, like that cloud of witnesses that we so often speak of. Last year, perhaps they were with you, actually at the service when you were ordained deacon. Over this past year, they may have journeyed with you through the many new responsibilities you will have undertaken. And they may be asking, now what? But you yourselves know what a difference a year, and particularly this year, has made. You will know how you have grown in understanding and experience, and how you are ready for the next phase of your lives as ambassadors for Christ. Now, when I was much younger, I had a really romanticized understanding of being an ambassador. I think of evenings filled mostly of glamorous dinners with never-ending platters of Ferrero Rocher. Or maybe, actually, I might say after eights, because they were kind of more my time. That's my age. Amazingly, years later, one of my very best friends became an ambassador to the court of St. James. And I learned through him that while there are those standout moments of meeting the Queen, the role is often more about serving than being served, more about representing, embodying, and signifying the country you serve. The best ambassador is primarily a symbol of that which he or she represents. I think my friend got it about being an ambassador in the everyday, because long before he was called to be the ambassador of his country, he had accepted to be Christ's ambassador and to put the service of God before everything else and serve diligently, as you have been doing over this past year, because he was not only the ambassador, he was also a priest. If we didn't know it before now, these COVID times have shown us that church is to be lived much more in the very ordinary everyday than in the context of fine robes and gold brocade vestments. There's nothing wrong with those either. The gospel takes us truly to the foot of the cross and to that upper room, and the fear of those disciples. And if we ever find ourselves lost in the heights of clericalism or pedestalization because of being the priest, We need to remember where God calls us from. He calls us from that cross, and he calls us even in the doubting, the doubtfulness of our minds. He comes to us and he calls us, and then he sends us. So that calling from Christ, from the cross, and then that resurrected Christ coming back to us and calling us, even in our doubts, brings us up short, resets for us the type of ambassadors that we are called to be. As ambassadors for Christ, we are called to be his co-workers. And that's why priests are first called to be deacons, because we are called to serve. And despite any other position that you or they, we may go on to hold, whatever the title, we will always remain deacons, taking our place amongst all those called by God to be servants of his living and his loving church. So why are we here this morning? This service is not going to make Ruth or Paul or Erin or Hannah or Reginald any more holy, any more prayerful, any more loving, or any more serving than they already are. There is, though, one simple change which will occur as a result of this morning's service. From today, they will be entitled to preside at Holy Communion. After today, they will stand at the table of the Lord with a plate of bread and a cup of wine before them as they lead in the prayer of thanksgiving for the redeeming sacrifice of Christ, his body given, his blood poured out. So, that question of so what, because they already lead and worship and preach, the so what is the difference that this seemingly simple change makes. On the cross, Jesus offers his sacrifice, his gift of total love to the church, the gift of himself made present in the Eucharist. The day before his death on the cross, Jesus gathered his friends, took broke and offered simple earthly symbols of bread and wine, and told his disciples to always do this, and that when they did so, he himself, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, would be with them and would be there. As Malcolm Guite expresses it, yet this is how he comes. Through wine and bread, love chooses to be emptied into me. He does not come in unimagined light, too bright to be denied, too absolute for consciousness, too strong for sight. Leaving the seer blind, the poet mute, chooses instead to seep into each sense, to dye himself into experience. This is no small thing. It is a gift, a responsibility, and an honor, and one that is received and offered to others in the deepest humility. To preside at the Eucharist is to be Christ's sign of welcome, hospitality, and a focal point for unity, especially to the marginalized and the alienated. And in these COVID times, there are many who find themselves in that position. The priestly calling is pivotal to the life of the church, and so we pray that Ruth and Paul and Erin and Hannah and Reginald will carry that role and responsibility with humility and with honor. We started off with beautiful feet, and let us end there. The feet that have brought our brothers and sisters from different parts of the world and the United Kingdom to serve here in God's vineyard in Croydon. They collectively embody a church that accommodates our rich and diverse communities and the hopes of future generations. These strange times may have blown off track our expectations of what we will do and even be as church. But God gives to each of us our traveling shoes to walk towards the world and all that it will bring. May those feet support you as you stand at God's table to serve his people. May they carry you out to proclaim the good news and witness to Christ's love. And may your passepartout be Christ himself as you embody the virtues of the kingdom you serve, of invitation, of welcome, of hospitality, of inclusion, of acceptance, and of service. In the midst of all the change and uncertainty of our current situation, today we are reminded that crucifixion and death leads to resurrection and hope, and that Jesus continually leads us to his table where we find complete communion with God and with one another. My brothers and sisters, I pray that you will preside over the gatherings of the people of God with wisdom, with strength, with sincerity, and with humility. Amen.